Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Matthew 1. I read especially as a text verse for the sermon, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23, where we read as follows: Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The theme for the sermon is God with us. 3 points of attention: God's way, God's grace, and Emmanuel. So the theme is God with us, 3 points. God's way, God's grace, and Emmanuel. Congregation, if it would happen that there would be a person that would stand up in our days and say, I'm a king. So I deserve to receive the glory of a king. We would have our questions, isn't it? We would think, well, why is this person saying that? And is that really true? Can he show that it is true? What are his ancestors? We would ask. And we would try to find out. Is it just nonsense what he is saying? Is it just his imagination, fantasy? Or is there really some truth in that saying, I am a king? Well, the Lord made in his word it so sure, so clear, that the Lord Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah, the promised one, the King of Kings, the one that would be born in this world to be the Savior of mankind. Now it can be that there is someone doubting here. I think we all have our doubts, our questions, isn't that true? Calvin would say, where faith is, and I hope there's faith in your heart. Where faith is, where the fire of faith is, there is a smoke of doubting. And the Lord knows how hard it can be for our hearts to believe the invisible things, to trust his word. Are you struggling with that, young people, boys and girls? Maybe you're ashamed to say that. I have that question in my life, is the Bible really true? Is Scripture true? Are it only words? Is there a God? Is there a living God, a God who is in control of everything? Cannot see that. I cannot experience that in my life and heart. I do not hear answers to my prayers. Maybe that's your struggling. And the Lord knows how weak we are. He knows our hearts. And he has made it so powerful, this testimony about his son coming into this world to save sinners out of their misery. He has given 4 Gospels. To describe the life of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. So you can say 4 witnesses giving a testimony about what happened in this world history. And they all describe it from their own point of view, guided by the Holy Spirit, bringing different aspects to be revealed to us, and they all fit together. And not only that, The Lord has given His whole word, describing the line of the plan of God of salvation in this world history from paradise till the day of judgment. Describing how He came already in paradise to promise about salvation for fallen mankind. And here in the Gospel according to Matthew, the Lord is showing the line, the list of the generation of Jesus Christ, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. You probably know that it's also in the Gospel according to Luke. There's a difference. In the Gospel according to Luke, we see that it starts with Adam, and here we see that it starts with Abram. So we can say Matthew is more writing in first meaning, first intention, more writing to the Jews, and Luke is more writing in his first intention to the Gentiles, so starting with Adam and Matthew starting with Abram. And they both make it very clear that the Lord Jesus is born, really born in this world according to the promise of God. So this is really what happened in the world history. We can say what happened 2,015 years ago was a turning point in world history, and the Lord gave it, that His Son was born. And all the names are there, so all the people, to a certain extent, that in the beginning God's gospel could check it. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. We still remember. The Jews are very good in remembering their generations, the line of generations, and it was important to them. It was right from the beginning, because the Lord gave to each of the tribes a certain part of the promised land, so they had to remember where they belonged to, and so they knew a lot by memory. And here the Lord is showing in this book of generations that He fulfilled this promise. The promise made to Abram already, that in him all the tribes of the world would be blessed in his seed. And the promise made to David, that he would build for him a stable house that would last till all eternity. And we find it described here, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. All the names are here. And then it says there were 14 generations from Abram to David, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon, are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. 14, 3 times 14 are described here. Why 14? Yeah, it's not explaining it here, but we know that the number of 7 is a full number. And so 14 is 2 times 7. But we have to say, when we compare the book of generations in the Gospel according to Matthew to the book of generations in the Gospel according to Luke, that there is a difference that sometimes can confuse. And the solution is that it can happen that they would skip one generation. Sometimes they will call a grandson the son of his grandfather. And it seems that the Jews wouldn't see that as a problem. They still would have the line clear how the descendants came from their ancestors. So they came to 3 times 14. And we can say that Matthew was making the line, writing the line for Joseph and Luke for Mary. And they both come from David. But still the question comes up, well, why 14? And it's nice to see when you take the name of David. So Christ is called here the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. So now I'm going to explain a little bit technical thing in Hebrew. You know, they didn't write the vowels. So David are three consonants, the D, and in Hebrew it's not, it's a W and then again a D. And the D is equal to the number 4, and the W is equal to the number 6. So D, W, D, if you add that together, you come to 14. So it could be that Matthew had in mind that the people try to memorize those things, and he is making it more easy, making it more powerful by taking 3 times 14 generations, and 14 is the number that is the number of the name David. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, born in this world at a time that the Lord had in purpose, the full time, according to his counsel, according to his plan. That's the way of the Lord, to come to this world to save man out of sin, out of his misery. Do you doubt that? That is really happened? Or what would be the answer to you? If you still doubt, well, the Lord is making it so clear, so powerful, describing it in so many ways, how he has made a way to be saved out of guilt and out of sin. Is there anybody here still struggling with that question? Is this the truth? Is the written word of God really the word of God, or is it just a human book like many scientists will say nowadays? Are you struggling with that? You know, when all those questions will go away? You know, when I know it so very sure that this is true? When I really find Christ in the Word, given by the Lord to my own heart and soul. Those times that the Lord is giving me light, showing me my need, showing me my weakness, depravity and corruption, and that I don't know where to go, and the Lord is showing me that there is a way from his side to be saved, and that Christ is that way, and that everything I need is to be found within him. Can you imagine that there would be any doubt anymore those times? That I see this, the beauty of this Savior, that I see that he really came for sinners, for such a dirty sinner as I am, so proud by nature, so carnal as I am in myself, and that he came to save such a sinner that cannot cleanse and wash his own heart. And when I feel that, when I experience that peace, that power of the work of Christ applied to my heart by the Holy Spirit, there's no doubt. There's no question. This is the truth. Then it's so very sure. And I really, it's my desire and my prayer that you all will have this Savior born in such a way in your heart by the Holy Spirit, that all your doubting will be gone. Those times that you will experience this Savior as your Savior by faith. And that's the key. That's the secret, that you give up, that you lose hope, that you don't know how to do it, that you need a Savior, and that you find him, and that you see, and he has done everything. So there's nothing that I have to add. And there's nothing that I want to add, because he deserves to receive all the glory, and there's my salvation. There's my surety, my certainty, my safety. In him, everything that I need. God sent his Son in the fullness of time, in this world, in the center of world history, to make a turn that man could never make, to create something new in this world, to recreate mankind to the glory of his name. And he did it for me. I needed that. I deserved that curse that he took upon him. You loathe yourself before the Lord. It's no longer your neighbor that did wrong to you that is the biggest sinner, but you are the chief of sinner. And now he came for such a person. Oh, that love of Christ in your heart, then you know, yeah, this is the word of God. This is a living word. This is doing what I couldn't do and what no man could do in my life. It's changing my heart. There's no doubt about that. I know there will be other days. There will be days of darkness. And the Lord is exercising faith in those days of darkness, that we would believe when we do not see by experience, that we live by faith and not by sight. But oh, how blessed to receive this Savior again and again, to seek and find him in his word, like he is revealed as a Savior given by God according to his purpose, so that God would glorify his name in the salvation of sinners here in Grand Rapids, here in Providence Reformed Church, and everywhere in this world, throughout whole world history. It is God's way. There's not a way that we have made level or opened. It's what the Lord did. That's why it's possible for you, for me. It's such a blessing when we see that the Lord is working in the line of the generations. For the Jews, the generations, the book of the generations was very important. And it's so terrible to them that in the year 70, most of those books were destroyed when Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed. But this is saved. The Lord was watching it. This message should be saved for the world, so that we today could hear it, that Christ really came into this world to satisfy the righteousness of God by his sacrifice, that he was born so that we would be born again and would be saved. And the Lord many times is working in the lines of the generations. What a blessing it is when we have God-fearing parents or grandparents. Did you ever think about that? How privileged you are? And did you receive that blessing that the Lord has given in it apply to your heart? Do you despise it by going your own way? Oh, then it would testify against you in all eternity, when the Lord would have to say in the day of judgment, what did you do with those privileges, those benefits that I gave to you? You that fear the Lord, pray for your descendants until countless generations, that the Lord will work powerfully in the hearts of children, grandchildren, and all the following generations. The Lord is a hearer of prayers. We go to our next point, God's grace. So the Lord is not showing his way only in this book of generation, of the generation of Jesus Christ, but he's also showing his grace. He's showing his grace in sending his son in this world. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It's grace. It's grace. God with us. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. If you would ask what was the main thing that Christ was coming to do in this world, he shall save his people from their sins. It happened in one of my former congregations that certain lady wrote me a letter, "Pastor, I'm concerned. You're always talking about sin in your sermons and about the need of conversion. We should more talk about gratitude and about what we have to do in our new life." And of course, we have to talk about that too. But we should never forget that Christ came into this world, that his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's really the heart of the gospel. That's really our biggest need, our guilt before God. Our sin is making a separation between God and our soul. Our sin is making it dark in our hearts and taking the joy that we could have from us, because we sin, making us scared, making us restless, making it dark within. Oh, that short pleasure of sin that we like to enjoy is taking so much real joy and peace and beautiful things from us. And Christ came into this world to save his people from their sins. The Lord is showing grace in it. To be saved from your sins, that means to be saved from your guilt. That a burden will be taken away from your shoulders. You know that? That what you could never pay. Can you? Can you pay for your guilt? All those sins that you did from childhood, when you were in your teenagers, when you maybe married or not married, grew up older, an adult, now maybe old, your gray hairs, the evening of life, in the occupation that you have done, all those sins, in your marriage, in your office that the Lord gave to you, being a father, whatever responsibilities the Lord gave to you, all those sins, can you ever pay for them? Can you? What a burden, countless, innumerable. Can you get peace by doing many good things, trying to make up for this guilt? You cannot. Did you try? I hope you gave up and you came to this Savior that came in the world, born in this world to save from sin. It's not only about forgiveness. If you know forgiveness, then you will see how terrible sin is. You will see how much it destroys, what it costed the Lord Jesus. You will hate sin. So you will not only have a desire to get rid of your guilt, but you want to be saved from your sins. You want to get rid of all those wrong habits and a depraved nature, that old man, that flesh. It's a burden, not only your guilt, but that you still experience that sinful heart. Oh Lord, create a pure heart within me. Renew me according to the image of Christ. You recognize that? And he came to do that. Maybe you say, well, we will have sin till the end of our lives. There's no person on earth that is not doing sin. You're right. There was only one man in the whole world history, and that is Christ, who lived a perfect life, and that's why we need him to be our substitute, to have imputed to us what he did. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is not giving his Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of those that know Christ. If we would say, well, nothing will change, we would deny the power of the Holy Spirit. And we would deny many text places in Scripture, text verses. Because it's really true that the Lord is going to change things that I couldn't change. And it's sometimes such a deep amazement and joy that you see, well, the Lord really changed that in my life. I couldn't. I tried, but I couldn't. He did. He came to save his people from their sins. His people. He knows them that belong to him. And everybody who will call unto the name of the Lord has to leave unrighteousness behind him. To have a desire to get rid of all that wicked things in your life. And I know there will be a fight till the end of your life. But do you see that new desire in your heart? Worked by the power, the love of Christ, the knowledge of Christ personally in your heart and soul? Maybe you say, well, I can see that this is possible for some good people, some God-fearing people, some people that live a nice and good and moral good life. But what about me? I've sinned. When I was young, I did so many wrong things. I knew my parents said I shouldn't do it, but I did it secretly. And when I grew up, I really did bad things, worse than others did. So, I can see it's for someone else. But for me, we see in this book of the generation of Jesus, we see the grace of God. There are four special names in this book. Usually, this book of generations will take the male names, the names of the man. But we find four women described here. And the Lord is doing that, of course, with a reason. To make it very clear that Christ came in the world to save sinners, giving four clear examples about the power of the grace of God. The first name we find is Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, the son of Jacob. And he did fornication, adultery with her. Still, she is in that line of the generations, that list of the generations where the Lord Jesus is born. Christ became man. He became man like we are to save us from our misery. And he humbled himself so deep. And he was willing to have those names in the list of his ancestors, Tamar and Rahab the harlot from Jericho. She's there, used by the Lord to bring his son into this world, not only saved by his son, but also used in a special way in his service. And Ruth, the Moabite, they belonged to a cursed people because of what they did to the people of Israel, excluded in a certain way, but included by the Lord. So the Lord is doing things in a different way from man. Those that we think they do not fit in, they're not worthy. The Lord is choosing them. He has chosen such that are despised by man many times. Bathsheba, it says, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. The Lord is not hiding the sins in his word. He is mentioning them very clear, so that we would see that we are not too far away from the Lord, whatever happened in our life, whatever we did. So is there anybody here that thinks, well, it's impossible for me? You know, what I did is too bad. And I do not have the right knowledge. And I do not have the right ancestors. If the Lord is working in the line of the generations, well then, you know, what do I have? But remember Ruth, that came from the Moabites, saved by the Lord. The Lord is so great, so gracious. His grace is so full and so rich. It's real grace. There's no connecting point in us. It's his work. It's all of him, so that he will receive all the glory. Why would it not be possible for you? Can you give me any reason? There's no way for you to be saved if there's no grace to wash and cleanse your sin. Tell me. Why would you think that? Tell me. The Lord is gracious. We read in our text verse, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So in the line of the generations, in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, we have to see one certain thing. He's born of a virgin, of Mary, a young girl, was not yet married when she conceived child in a miraculous way by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what happens there? Well, the Lord is cutting the line from Adam. So man is putting aside. It's not by the will of man nor by the will of flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. God is creating something new in this world history. He is making a new beginning. It's humbling for us. So he's taking man, putting him aside. I cannot use you. You are so deeply fallen. There's no way to be saved from your sight. I make something new. I will make a new start. That's what we need. I hope you discover that. There's no way from my side. So all my hope is that it will come from the other side, and it comes from the other side. Not from Adam. All that came from Adam is sin. And now the Lord is making a new start by giving a second Adam. Creating a new mankind, saved by his miraculous power, his own work. And this child will be a holy child, real human, but without sin. And that's a savior that we need. So if you say that I cannot find any connecting point in my life and heart, why I could be saved, then I say, well, the Lord knew. So he made a new start from his side, so that man could be saved. by this Savior, by this child that's born from Virgin Mary. It's really the work of the Lord. And that's why there is salvation for you. Possible? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 62, stanza 1 till 4. Psalter 62, stanza 1, the man that fears the Lord, God's way, it shall understand. His soul shall ever dwell at ease. His children rule the land. 62, stanza 1 till 4. Is that true? Did the Lord bring you exceeding low? Low enough to receive such a Savior? Low enough to admit and acknowledge, confess before the Lord that you cannot save yourself, that you deserve His wrath, His eternal wrath, and to cry out for grace? Is that too hard for you? Is this too difficult, this message? What is the problem? I know. It's the hardness of our heart. And the Lord is breaking hard hearts. He can do that. Really. He does it. He does it by His power, by His Spirit, by His love, so that you will experience God with us. Emmanuel. That was really a difficult thing that happened to Mary. She has a young girl, espoused to Joseph, and then pregnant. So what would Joseph think? And Joseph thought about it, and he didn't want to make her publicly to shame, so he wanted to leave her. There must have been another man involved in this, in their relation, so he decided to leave her. And then the Lord came to him and revealed him what happened. And there must have been many thoughts in the heart of Mary, because according to the books of Moses, a woman that would do adultery would deserve to be stoned. What would people think around her? And now she still could give it all in the hands of the Lord, and she was not put to shame. The Lord provided and revealed to Joseph what happened. And Joseph could bow under it and accept it and believe and trust the Lord. Wonderful how the Lord is providing. Are you scared about situations, circumstances in your life? Don't you believe that the Lord can provide? He will test, like a certain way we can say it was a test to Mary when that angel came. And she could just give it in the hands of the Lord. I hope you can do that. He will test, and maybe he will give you a difficult way. Also nice to read in the bulletin of last week that meditation, whatever you need, the Lord will give it. If it is affliction, the Lord will give it. He will make very sure that you will not go astray. You will not wander away. Do you believe that? That the Lord is doing and giving all things for the good, for those that love Him, called according to His purpose. And what a powerful example we have. That He brought His Son in the world in such an amazing way, and He provided for Mary and Joseph. He even provided in bringing those rich, wise men from the east to with their gifts, so that they would have what they needed when they had to flee to Egypt, and all things were in the providence of the Lord. It's such a good life if we have that simple trusting of the Lord. It's so hard for us. If we have it not in our own hand, but if we see, oh, it's so great if we see it in the hand of God. And the Lord has given what they needed. And so His Son was born, and His name is Emmanuel. It means God with us. It's such a deep name. It's such a wonderful message. God with us. You think about that name. God with us. Sometimes you can think, well, I have a relative that's a very powerful person. That uncle of me, if he will help me, you know, then I will get a job. And then I can solve that problem that I have. So that if that uncle is with me, then I'm standing I'm in a very safe position. But now it says God with us. He's almighty. He is the eternal God. He's in control of everything. So Christ means, Emmanuel means God with us. That's the miracle of Christmas. God with us. He came down from heaven to show the grace of God. That God can accept sinful people, show His favor to them undeserved. God with us. Where we deserve that God is against us, and where God really is against us by nature, like we are born, because we turned against the Lord, we rebelled against Him. So that's why we made God to be against us. And now Christ is coming in this world to change that thing, to make God with us. If God is against us, and He is by nature, like we are born in sin, we are under the wrath and the condemnation of God. It's terrible. If I have an enemy, that's bad. But, yeah, many times enemies cannot do so much. They can do some harm, some damage. They can make you suffer and give you pain and hurt. They can scorn you, despise you. They can slander your name. It's too bad. It's so hard for us. And maybe I need it. But probably I need it. But yeah, they are also weak, you know. But if God is against you, you will lose that. I mean, He is the Almighty One. Did you ever think about that? God against you. Oh, that should make us to seek a hiding place. To seek salvation, because I cannot exist before this Almighty, righteous, holy God. I will be consumed by His holiness. And now Christ came in the world to change that. God with us. It's the deepest joy you can ever have in your heart. God with us. It says God with us. Who are we? We started to sing, sir, what is man? Man taking from the dust. So small, if you would think about the earth and the universe, it's just a very small ball. And now on that earth, there are so many people, and I'm one of that innumerable many persons on the world. So small. And now God with me, with us, in Christ, if I know Him, if I belong to Him, bought by His blood, saved by His sacrifice, it's too big. I cannot comprehend it. I can think for hours about that. It'll make my heart jump for excitement. God with us, not only weak and small, but so guilty, so corrupt, so self-centered by nature, so sinful, so proud, so foolish. And that God coming in Christ to this world came to my heart. And now by faith I know God with us, with me. Then I can live. Then I can die. Whatever can happen to me when God is with me. And it is true. It is true. It's according to His word that those that come to be saved by Christ will experience this precious thing, God with us. The prophet Isaiah already came to the king Ahaz when he was in great danger, in great distress because of the enemy surrounding Jerusalem, and came with his message. And he said, I don't like it. I don't want a sign. That's how we are by nature. That's why people will be lost, because of the unwillingness, because of their pride, not willing to be helped. He expected help from Egypt or whatever, mighty people, but not from God. It was his unbelief. And Isaiah made it very clear. If you will not believe, you will not be established. It's because of our unbelief. Oh, that we might see how guilty we are if we do not believe the word of God. But can I make faith myself? Isn't it a gift of God? It is. That's why it is received in the hearts of people. So what can I do? Confess your unbelief to the Lord. Come to your knees as a guilty, unbelieving person. That's where the Lord wants you to be. That's where He's going to reveal His grace. There's where there comes room in your heart to receive grace, to receive what you do not have by yourself. There the Lord is working by His Spirit, that you will see that there is salvation for such a person, such a hard person with a stone, a heart of stone, and that He is going to change that. Take that stone away. Give you a flesh heart, living heart. Yeah, Jesus, what a sweet name. He came to save His people from their sins. And like Joshua brought people into the promised land, so Christ will do. Through the Jordan of death, they have to go. And they will go. The Lord will not return before that day. And they will enter that promised land, that heavenly Canaan, to be with Jesus, to be with Christ, to see Him, to know Him, to experience in a full measure God with us, God all in all. Oh, we should think more about that future that the Lord has prepared for those that fear Him. We will see the things of this life in a different way. We will be able to take them in a different way. We will see that we are like a traveler only for a short time. There's a person traveling from city to city. He will be for one night in a hotel, and then he comes to a hotel that's not nice. But he will think, well, it's only for this night, so it doesn't matter so much. Oh, that's how we have to see life. It's only for a short time. It's a time of preparation for eternity. And oh, there will be such a full reward for those that fear the Lord. To be with Him, that's heaven. To see His face, to see His eyes, His love, to see His glory, to give Him glory for all eternity. He doesn't need us, but He will use us in this life and in eternity to bring all the glory to Him, to Jesus, that saved me from all my sins. So what is your pain? What is your hurt? What is your sin? What is your need? There is an answer in Christ for you. Seek, and you will find. And you will be saved by this Savior. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we do not have words to thank Thee. Give us hearts to thank Thee. Give us minds to understand something of that richness in Thee, that beauty in Christ, so that we will despise the pleasure of sin, will hate the service of the world, will walk in heaven, will know Jesus. What a precious name. Savior of sinners. And he's bringing everything. He's bringing their conviction, he's bringing their faith, he's bringing their renewal, their glorification. Everything is within him. He is given to us from God as our wisdom, as our justification, our sanctification, our full redemption. Lord, bless thy word. We pray to forgive everything that was not according to thy holy will. Lord, help us in the catechism classes and Sunday school classes. Oh, we pray to work in all hearts. We tremble when we think about what it means that we live without that hiding place that Christ is. That we will have to bear the wrath of our sins for all eternity, and then be bearing that terrible knowledge, I knew the way, but I didn't want to walk in that way. That's why I'm here in hell. Oh Lord, that we would never, never have to think that. Oh, that thou would draw us with ropes of love to thee. And there is such a full salvation, a complete satisfaction in Christ. He is everything we need. He is Savior. Lord, bless thy word. Be with us this day, that we rest in him, and that we might rest all our days from all our sins. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, the praise, and the honor in all eternity. Lord, we pray that we will do that, and that is our future. Give us a heart to meditate upon that. Lord, we will not be disappointed. Be with us this day and every day. Protect us on the roads. Keep us from sin. Protect us against the attacks and snares of Satan. We pray it all, and we thank thee for Christ's sake. Amen.